Hello, friends. We are working now in the Angel of the Presence Commentaries, number 4. We're on approximately on page 47 of Esoteric Psychology 2. And we will, we finish number Ray 2 and Ray 1 in the last commentary. I had run into a little bit of difficulty with an entire network failure. So part of Ray 1 is on the second commentary, and part of it is on the third. And all of number Ray 2 commentary is on the third commentary. Now it's number 4, and we're taking up the third ray, and we're trying to understand this merging interaction between the angel of the presence and the human being, or what I'm calling the candidate for initiation, as this particular series of stanzas from the old commentary relates quite thoroughly to the third initiation, where you have a very complete, let's say almost complete, merging of the angel of the presence with the solar angel. And what I want to say is that the presence can be partially revealed within the causal body, because after all, the presence is represented by the jewel in the lotus. The presence is what the monad is. It's a unit of pure being, and it represents itself in the jewel, in the lotus, in the egoic lotus, as the central fire or the jewel. And by the time the third degree has occurred, the shining forth of the jewel, that point of pure being, is occurring to a degree, although it is not with full intensity revealed, because the synthesizing petals have not unfolded to a complete extent as they do just before the fourth initiation. Nevertheless, that presence can be revealed. That's something that I've begun to think about here, and it is the first conscious contact with the monad, which is the presence, though not as intense and unmediated a contact as will occur later at the fourth degree. So let me go over here and simply read this stanza once through directly. The angel of the presence stands within the center of the whirling forces. For ages long thus has he stood, the center of all energies from above and from below. With intelligence the angel works to make the one who is above and the one who is below to blend and be as one. With 12 clear notes the hour sounds forth, and then the two are one. The angel stands entranced, ear to ear, breast to breast, right hand to left. The two, who are the three, produce the merging of their lives. Glory shines forth, truth is revealed, the work is done. Then man, who is the soul, cries forth with power, I understand the way, the inner way, the silent way, the manifested way, for these three ways are one. The plan proceeds upon the outer way, it shews itself. The whole will stand revealed. That plan I know. I will, with love and mind, to serve that plan. There are, I would say, many hints given in the various stanzas. They're not the same hints given in all the stanzas, but they touch quite possibly upon the meaning of the angel of the presence and its relationship, and new insights are gathered which might apply to all the different ray processes in this merging. So we're interested in the merging of this this representative of the solar angel that we call the angel of the presence, that angel of the presence is absorbed within the causal body. And sometimes when we look at the causal body and the egoic lotus, we simply call it the ego or the angel. But in my view, at least, it is not the fullness of the solar angel, which is a greater being still. Perhaps more and more of that fullness is involved in the work of the egoic lotus as we near the third and the fourth initiation. But for a long time, it has stood by. Okay, so the angel of the presence stands within the center of the whirling forces. Always, it's interesting, these words, to stand, to sit, it has to do with an attitude, an alert attitude in touch with being, as if to stand in spiritual being. So, an alert and vigilant attitude. And within the center of the whirling forces. Now, always, it seems, the angel has contact with many forces. We saw when we were doing the first stanza, it was the same, something similar. The angel of the presence stands within the light divine, the center and the meeting place of many forces. So the angel is the wielder of forces, and they are gathered from above and from below. These forces are gathered from the cosmic etheric planes, especially. And have to be distributed below. The angel of the presence, is a mediator. Hence its connection to the fourth ray. And why should these forces be whirling? Whirling? Well, we have what we might call we have the, let's call it, a phohatic whirl. There's a vorticular motion involving always the third aspect of divinity. It's a kind of rotary motion. So when the third aspect of divinity is involved, we expect the whirling rotary motion. With the second aspect, you know, spiral cyclic, and with the first aspect, progress onward and a driving forward, more of a straight line force. So here the angel is the manipulator of forces, as it is the weaver stands and weaves, you know, the third ray formula for the healing process. So here the angel is the, let's call it, manipulator of forces. And in the first ray, he is particularly the director of forces, the one who determines when they shall begin and when they shall end. And in the second ray, he attracts the forces particularly and wields them through the law of attraction, generally a magnetic wielding of forces. For ages long, thus has he stood, the center of all energies from above and from below. Well, energies do reach the angel from the cosmic ethers. So energies reach the angel of the presence from the cosmic ethers, and also from the man below, B-E-L, who has now become the candidate. He is the candidate for initiation. So the causal body is built because energies from below do reach the angel of the presence, who participates in the building in of these energies and qualities from below, I mean, from the realm of personality. For ages long, how long? Well, millions of years. Ages long mean millions of years, but the angel at first, angle, angel at first is not so attentive. When the fifth petal of the egoic lotus is being organized and is unfolding, then the angel becomes more attentive. There are other agencies in our creative process which see to the development of the earlier petals, and I think the angel's attention is not so needed for that. Millions of years, I would say, and more acutely and attentively for thousands of years, maybe even hundreds of thousands of years, he has stood the center of all energies from above and from below, and there is a great coming together. See, the angel of the presence is a nexus. Is a nexus of energies which meet and blend, and which are blended and manipulated and applied. And it's very interesting, we're told of the manipulatory power of the third ray, and also of the blending power of the third logos. I think in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, blending force, is that it? Third, something like that, let's see. Okay, third logos, blending, or is it harmonizing? I think it's blending. Let's see if that's correct. The blending power of the third logos is felt at the fifth initiation. And all the different ray lords are called logoi here. You see the magical force of the seventh logos, the aggressive fire of the sixth logos, the illuminating light of the fifth logos, the harmonizing life of the fourth logos, the blending power of the third logos, the unifying heat of the second logos, the dynamic electricity. These are such very good descriptors for the work of the various planetary logoi, and maybe for solar logoi that are related to them. That too is possible. Anyway, that's page 433 of A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Well, with intelligence, the angel works to make the one who is above and the one who is below to blend and be, this is what he's doing, blend and be as one. So this is the unique quality of the third ray type. Third ray type. We don't have anything there yet, so let's make a little abbreviation. Third ray type. Sometimes it's easiest without specifying the particular level at which the ray is applied, just to say the first ray type, second ray type, third ray type, and so forth. With intelligence, this is the theme and major energy of the third ray type. And as I've said before, do we have a third ray solar angel, or do we have a solar angel that can work on any of the rays, or do we have a solar angel that can work particularly on complementary rays? I mean, if you think back, the solar angel must have been a human being of a particular kind with a particular ray structure, as a kind of graduate of the previous solar system, going off probably, I think, to Sirius for solar angelic training, and probably training perhaps along the line that it developed, a training according to its monadic ray. I mean, it seems that not much would be left for the traveling monad except its own monadic ray, unless somehow it had absorbed into its nature a secondary or soul ray which remains part of its work. So, you know, is the angel of the presence, is the solar angel, i.e. angel of the presence, working on its own monadic ray, or is it working flexibly with any of the rays that the human soul may need, or is there some kind of alignment of the angel with the monadic type of the individual? Well, probably in the third solar system, previous solar system, a lot of them would have been on the third ray monad, I suspect. I don't know how many of the first to second ray monads would have been available at that time. I mean, those are parts of the secrets that we are not given to know just yet. Anyway, with intelligence is what we would expect. The angel works, and, you know, I am the worker and the work, the one that is. So the third ray type and the seventh, and I'm going to make another abbreviation, more general, seventh ray type the third ray type and the seventh ray type are the workers. So we have, you know, and interestingly, the third ray master is particularly concerned with the labor movement, we have been told. So where there is labor, where there is work, the third ray is found. It's probably the relationship to Saturn, the major planet of the third ray, and its relationship to work in moving about that which is heavy and subject to gravity. The angel works to make the one who is above. Who would that be? Let us say most probably the angel is a unifying factor, right? The angel is a unifying factor, and this would be the monad, the one who is above and the one who is below, and by this we would mean the human being, including in itself as the macrocosm of the lower kingdoms, all representations of the lower kingdoms. Because, you know, he has the animal body, and there is the cellular vegetal nature within the human being, and there is, of course, the mineral nature. The human being is the macrocosm of all the lesser beings. So the one who is above and the multiple one who is below, i.e. the inclusive personality, to blend and be as one, and that is precisely, you know, this is precisely the work of an angel of the presence, to supervise this blending of the higher triad with the lower triad. Well, really, the soul, the egoic lotus is a triad. The spiritual triad is the triad, and the monad is the triad. So it's an upper nine, almost. But we do not think now of the threefoldness of the soul on the mental plane. We simply think of the monad and the higher triad. With 12 clear notes, the hour sounds forth. And the hour, let's call this the hour of blending. And why 12? Well, you know, obviously we have... This is the midnight hour, in a way, the midnight hour of initiation, sounding the 12, and also a zodiacal reference is found, because each of the signs, signs of the zodiac has a clear note associated, and the third ray type is especially connected with the science of astrology. So there has to be some completedness, or just maybe, yeah, completedness. I guess I want to call it that. I know that maybe there's no such word. I could say completeness, but I want to say that the work of completing has been done. The work of rounding out or completing has been done. So there is a full term process here after the 12 have been fulfilled. And maybe there's some kind of 12-fold endowment that is operating here. Maybe a 12-fold endowment is at work. With 12 clear notes, the hour of blending, the hour of merging, blending and of merging of the angel of the presence and the candidate, T and D, who is the disciple, sounds forth, and then the two are one. And, you know, this means that initiation has occurred. And the angel stands in trance. When you're in a trance, very receptive, and in a state of synthesis, which is related to the merging. So a trance is a high state of realization, a high state of realization. Sometimes we say we are entranced by someone, it means we're under the spell of something, but a high state of realization and receptivity is how I look at this. So this is the moment of fulfillment. It's indicated by the number 12, which is a, let's say, 12 is a number of completion, and especially in relation to the third ray. Notice here, the one and the two blend into a three. So it shows us that we are somehow reaching fulfillment on the third ray, the relationship to astrology, the blending of the higher triad and the lower, or of, in this case, he's working to make the two to be one. And then the two are one. This means that initiation has occurred. The angel and the man are one. The angel of the presence and the man are one. The angel angel of the presence and the man or candidate are one, and not yet the monad and the soul-infused personality. Not yet. That will come later, but the beginning has been made with the first conscious contact with the monad. Okay. Right. Let's see where we are here. Well, now here comes the chakric associations, the chakric transfer, we might say. The sense of hearing is definitely connected with the third ray. And, of course, if you're going to go ear to ear, it has to be the, let us say, the right ear of the man and the right ear of the angel, or left and left, whichever way it might go. So they seem to be a little bit aside to each other, but right hand to left presents a problem as to how this would go. I mean, if one thinks of how two human beings would go ear to ear, breast to breast, it might be possible, I can see that now, it might be possible to be breast to breast and right hand to left, the right hand of the angel to the left hand of the man, I would think. Right, and this is interesting because of the polarity, right hand of the angel to the left hand of man, we could turn our heads. The ears could be turned so that the right ear, this is one way of doing it, the heads could be turned to the side so that, whichever way it goes, the right right ear, yeah, let's see, I'm trying to visualize this, and I think that let us say if the angel turned to the right, it would be his left ear exposed, and it would be the right ear of the man, so that the left ear of the angel was against the right ear of the man. And it wouldn't have to be the head side to side. They could simply turn their head, let's see, how can I describe that? You know, in this way, they could turn their head this way, even though they were breast to breast. And even though I'm raising now my left hand, and the right hand of the angel could be on the other side. If I were the angel, I'd be raising my right hand, and I would be turning so that my left ear was exposed. So what is happening here? It seems that the right, well, first of all, the hands have chakras, the breasts have chakras, the ears are receivers, and they have chakras as well. They're ruled as a whole by the throat center, of course, which is the third ray center. So can we say ear to ear that, let's see, the right ear of the man. Okay, with this ear to ear position, is it that the angel hears the man, or is the we can do it the other way, of course, or is the man attentive to that which the angel hears? In which case, the angel could turn to the left. Let's see. In this case, it would be this: if I'm the angel, I turn to the left, and I expose my right ear. And the man would expose his left ear, which means that the man would hear what the angel has to say, or what that which the angel hears. When we think about breast to breast, one thinks of nurturance. One thinks of the nurturance, because that's what the breast represents, nurturance which can be transmitted from the angel to the man or to the candidate, and this is related to cancer, which rules the breasts, and interestingly enough is a sign through which the third ray does come. I mean, the other chakras are not associated with signs through which the third ray comes. And then the power again, let's do this here. I assume it's the angel's right hand. The power of the hand of the angel is received by the receiving hand of the candidate. So it's a question of polarity here. Breast to breast, we can have the two breasts together, and the right breast of the angel will touch the left breast of man, and the left breast of the angel will touch the right breast of man. I'm not thinking in terms of male or female at this point. I'm just thinking of the breast generically. And ear to ear, let us say that the man must become clairaudient. He must hear what the angel hears. He's listening in a way, on what the angel hears. And he is receiving the power of manipulation, the power of manipulation which the angel possesses, because that is what the hand can do. So always in these lineups, something is being passed from the man, from the angel to the man, something which the angel possesses and the man does not possess. So this is a transmission, this is an infusion, an empowerment, an endowment, leaving the man in a higher state, a soul state, as a result of this fusion. Hearing what is going on, feeling what the angel feels, and receiving some form of sustenance or nurturance that the angel can bestow, and having the hand empowered and receiving the power of all that the hand can do, the man receives this from the angel. All right, now let's see if there are further. This, the two who are the three produce the merging of their lives. And, well, you know, how can we look at the two who are the three? Because there, you know, we can say there is the angel, the candidate, and the angel candidate. This is one way of looking at that. Because when you have the merging of the two, a third is produced. Are there other ways, perhaps, to think of this? I think that this is the way I will think of it for the moment. The one and the two, and the third is the combination of the two. And they are coming together, and in their merged state, they make a third, as it were. And then as the result of this, glory shines forth and truth is revealed. The love of truth must dominate. Remember this from the third ray integration formula. The love of truth must dominate, and not love of my own thoughts and forms. So let's turn to that just for refresher. This is in Esoteric Psychology 2, and love of truth must dominate. Not love of my own thoughts or love of my ideas or forms. Love of the ordered process must control. Not love of my own wild activity. And then there is, as we've seen in the Blessed One formula, the idea of how can I therefore demonstrate this truth? How can I therefore demonstrate this truth? What shall I do? I wander in illusion. So through my mind I can display the glory of divinity. How can I therefore demonstrate this truth? The glory and the truth will rapidly destroy that which has veiled the truth. So I wonder if there was a similar author here to these different stanzas, some word forms or idea forms. Well, certainly D.K. really is the author in English, and he's taking it from probably from the Senzar or some sort of language which only he is in a position to interpret, he and other masters. So glory and the truth, there we have it. And this is what we are talking about here when glory shines forth, truth is revealed. So the third ray type is connected with both glory and truth, and especially with the glory of the truth, the glory of divinity. Oh, divinity, D-D-V-T. Oh, I think we need that, don't you? Let's say we need something for divinity. I don't see it here. Divinity, the glory of divinity, which the truth reveals. And then this work is done. So the third ray type wants to display the glory of divinity through the truth, and wants to bring forward the truth, the fact that divinity is glorious. In this respect, it is related to the sixth ray, which is also, it's bound for glory, you might say. Its great aspiration is towards glory, and the second ray type, the revealer of glory. All of these, 2, 3, and 6, are bound together in that way. Well, really, the effulgence of the soul is glorious, and taking the third initiation, one is glorified, which means there is a great display of light. The third aspect of divinity and the third aspect of the monad have been reached. Vulcan is involved in this display of light. The display of love, I suppose, comes later, and the display of power later still. And they are already hinted at in this display of glory at the third degree, and we are speaking here of the third degree, are we not? So glory shines forth, truth is revealed, and I want to hear what the solar angel is hearing. I want to learn to nurture the way the solar angel can nurture, okay? The candidate wishes to learn to nurture as the solar angel can nurture and is receiving nurturance from the solar angel. Yes, I mean, whatever the solar angel confers, I'm calling it solar angel, I should be calling angel of the presence, whatever the angel can confers, the man can subsequently do, and empowered to arrange according to the plan. Let's just say after the transference via the hand, the candidate is empowered to work with the hand in a way that the plan requires. And of course, if it's transferred to his left hand, it's going to also be conferred from his left hand to his own right hand. But at least that is the receiving hand. So the idea of receptivity is strongly accented in this type of merging. The work is done. The work of merging and of fusion is accomplished. Then, man, who is the soul, and we will say like this, who now is the soul and can focus at will in the egoic lotus causal body, or causal body egoic lotus, yes, there we go, cries forth with power because there is a direct connection between the power ray and the intelligence ray. Now I understand the way. Now, this is not, of course, not the way of higher evolution, but the way to be trodden once one is a true initiate. So this is the way of initiation, or the path of initiation, or the way of initiation. It is still a ray path, not meaning the higher ray path, but a path on which a particular ray is being developed. I understand the way that all initiates must go, the way that all initiates must go, and how they must work in the lower worlds. This is the inner way, and you know, this is interesting because the third ray type has been working in the world of Brahma largely extroverted and not so inclined to turn within. There's an inherent skepticism in the third ray, whereas those on the 2-4-6 line attempt to tend to accept things intuitively and by hunch and by feeling. The third ray type must prove it. I mean, I've talked to a lot of my friends who are third ray souls and very strong on the third ray, and they point to their heroes, and their heroes are those who have proven something philosophically, mathematically, in some way in the realm of higher thought. So I understand the way, the inner way. So this is the way of the soul guided by the angel of the presence. Okay, let's call this the way of soul expression guided by the angel of the presence. The silent way. Now this is very good because the third ray types are the great talkers. The throat center is stimulated, but all this talk and all this movement or activity must be quieted and silenced at last. In the third ray, the integration formula, I'm seeing the love of truth and not love of my own ideas. The word went forth from soul to form. Let's see, how does that go? I've got to find that. Here it is. The word went forth from soul to form. Oh, goodness, that's not going to be easy. Learn to stand silent, quiet, and unafraid. I'm remembering that. Learn to stand silent. Here it is. The word goes forth from soul to form, not went forth. It goes forth. Be still. Be still. Learn to stand silent, quiet, and unafraid. I at the center am. Look up along the line and not along the many lines which in the space of eons you have woven. These hold thee prisoner. Be still. Rush not from point to point, nor be deluded by the outer forms and that which disappears. Behind the forms the weaver stands, and note, silently he weaves. So this integration stanza for the third ray blends very well with what we are seeing here. He knows the inner way, so he listens to the voice of the silence, the voice of the soul. See, it's the man who has reached soul consciousness that is crying forth now. Cries forth. He's not the solar angel that is crying forth, or the angel of the presence. He is the man inspired by the angel of the presence, the candidate inspired by the angel of the presence. He is the one who is sounding forth. The inner way, what should we call it, of soul attentiveness, of attentiveness to the angel of the presence, through the ear, through the breast, through the hand. The silent way of all activity and commotion ceases so that there can be receptivity and proper weaving in that which the silence has revealed. And the manifested way. See, so often the third ray types, seventh ray types are manifestors, and at first they do not cultivate inwardness. Their eyes are fixed upon that which is being manifested, and the connection with the pattern that must be manifested is not truly spiritual. Later, the more interior attitude supervenes. And so the manifested way we would expect, but it has to be based upon hearing the voice of the silence, turning inward, introversion, a kind of a spiritual introversion on the inner way. Sometimes DK says that the psychological introvert is not really spiritual, but now we're talking about real subjectivity, an attitude of real subjectivity. Okay. And then the silent way, which is the way of not obstructing receptivity through your own commotion. Commotion, compassion, come. Okay, not obstructing spiritual receptivity through one's own commotion, and the manifested way, which is actually how to get the plan to appear. For these three ways are one, and let's just say this was not realized at first, when the third ray type was outwardly turned. The plan proceeds upon the outer way. The plan is meant to manifest. The plan is meant to show itself in the matters of the lower worlds, in the elements of the 18 lower subplanes. So the plan may be coming from the atmic level as a kind of an appropriation of the monadic level, of the purpose of the monadic level. It may work its way down, but eventually it has to show right here on the outer plane. The whole will stand revealed. Notice again, the plan and the whole are occurring contiguously with each other, either in the same sentence or one following the other. And this is a requirement for the third degree, the requirement for the third degree, that that the wholeness shall be seen. You know, the macrocosmic whole is all there is, we are told in the Rule 5 of the rays and the initiations, the rules for a disciple. In unison, let the group perceive the triad shining forth, which is how you begin to see that whole. Dimming the light of the soul and blotting out the light of form. And this occurs, of course, after the third initiation is taken. But already, wholeness is a major theme of the third initiation, which is why, in a way, the sun is an appropriate symbol for this initiation, and the blazing forth of the sun, which occurs when the angel of the presence and the man are uniting. This is an illumination which shines forth. That plan I know, and how? What type of knowing? Knowing with the mind, and with the acutely, acutely intelligent mind. Knowing with the mind. And, you know, this is one a ray of knowledge, a ray of intelligence. So one on this ray, the third ray type, the astrologer, will know the timing of the divine plan, the cycles, the overlaying of the cycles, and will be able to judge from a great complexity of interweaving forces. That plan I know. Now, you know, earlier we were told I love the plan, and when we have the first ray type, we are told, I serve the plan with will. And here, for the second ray type, I serve the plan, I serve the whole with love and understanding. But he says, I love the plan, right here in the last paragraph. And here, that plan I know. So the knowledge aspect is revealed. And then, interestingly, the first aspect of divinity is pulled into it. I will. I mean, you know, at this point, they all have all three aspects. The first aspect of divinity is pulled into the picture. And the first and the third aspect are along the same line, we know. But this is an inclusive statement. I will with love and mine. So let's say for the third ray type, the three are one to serve that plan, not alone with intelligence, but love and will have been gathered to the very evident mind, the mind that knows the plan. So there is a, for this type of candidate on the third ray, there is a synthetic service using all three aspects, and the triangle has become unified. So let's take a look at this, and then we'll read it once again. Sometimes looking at this third ray, you know, in some of us who have a lot of the third ray, we feel the merging of the second and the third ray. And it's not an easy merging, not by any means. DK has told us with respect to a certain disciple who had the second ray astral body and the third ray physical, admittedly on a lower turn of the spiral here than what we're talking about here, that the merging is not easy. It's difficult to get these two rays to work well together because one is so active and the other is so still and magnetic. Does it rush from point to point? Well, that's the question. Does the second ray rush from point to point? Well, maybe sometimes when it's under the influence of the third ray. I could put it like this. If I went to esoteric healing and I went to page 299 approximately, you'd see that the second ray type can also cover ground. The Great One poured his life throughout all parts. Well, that's the outpouring in every aspect of manifestation. From the center to the periphery and from the periphery to the center, he rushed. But maybe it's not from point to point, it's from center, it's along the radius, from center to periphery and periphery to the center, carrying an abundance of life, energizing all forms of himself with which he has identified, producing excess of movement, that sounds a lot like the third ray, endless extension, that sounds to a degree like the third ray, abundant growth and undue haste. So this is the one place that I know where the second ray has certain qualities like those of the third ray. But if we look at esoteric psychology number one, around page 202 or so, what we'll see is that this is called the ray of wisdom, cold and selfish if without love, and inactive if without power. Of course, the Buddha and the Christ have both love and the power, but there could be a tendency towards inactivity on the second ray, but then there is a third ray type as well that has a tendency towards a certain type of idleness, and maybe I can look that up just for fun. I-D-L-E-N-E-S-S, idle, oh, maybe just idle. And maybe we'll find that here. 1, 2, 3, 4. A philosophic is led by the paramount importance. Here it is. One type of this ray is unconventional to a degree, a bit Uranian, I suppose, slovenly, oh, not pretty, unpunctual, and idle. So, it's interesting, but maybe not idle in the mind, but idle in the physical nature. Maybe that's the second sub-quality of that third ray type, maybe. All right, so let's read it. And I'll just make a brief comment. The angel of the presence stands within the center of the whirling forces. These are the forces of Maya, and they are responsive to rotary motion, and all is a whirl for the third ray type, and as he wields forces, they can be whirling forces, they can be vortices, they are phohatic. For ages long thus has he stood, not as active in the beginning as in the end, But still, that part of the solar angel which is invested in the causal body takes its stand as the angel of the presence, as a supervisor from the very beginning, but not as demanding a supervisory role in the very beginning as toward the end. And he's the center of all energies which are coming from the cosmic ethers and from the spiritual triad and the monad, and also from below, from the man and his personality vehicles, sending energies upward into, at the end of every life, and maybe during the life, upward into the realm of the causal body. With intelligence, which is his major attribute or aspect, this angel works to make the one who is above, who is the monad, and the one who is below, who is the candidate or the personality, soul-infused to a degree, to blend and be as one, and eventually that must happen, the monadically infused, soul-infused personality. So there's a blending of the personality which has absorbed a great deal of the soul consciousness. The monad is blended with that. But that's not happening yet. That must happen later, I suspect. And you kind of wonder, there's a blending in being as one. Some of the monadic power is coming through, but the full monad expressing through the personality doesn't really happen until the personality, I think, is a Maya Virupa. With 12 clear notes, one for each sign of the zodiac, or one indicating the midnight hour of initiation, because I do think initiations are taken more at the midnight hour, you know, the idea of the bottom of the chart, the fourth house of the chart, the midnight sun. With 12 clear notes, the hour of merging sounds forth, and then the two are one. The angel stands in a great state of synthesis, having absorbed, in a way, the candidate who has become one with the angel in the causal body. Ear to ear, to hear what the angel says or hears, breast to breast, to nurture as the angel can nurture and be nurtured by the angel, right hand to left, to receive the manipulative power of the angel, the chakras in the hands. And I've already talked about how you can turn so you can get the left ear of the man and the right ear of the angel and the right hand of the angel in the left hand of the man. I've shown how that can be done. The two who are the three produce the merging of their lives. And so both are involved in producing the merging, not just the angel. The man, the candidate, has to want to do this as well and has to undertake that kind of training which will allow the merging. There's the angel, there's the man, and there are the two of them together that are the third. Glory shines forth, the glory of the mind, truth is revealed. Truth reveals the glory, and connected with the third-ray type, third-ray soul, is the glory and the truth, and this work is done. And when the merging has occurred, then man, who is now the soul and can live within the causal body, cries forth with power, coming along the first aspect of divinity and using his throat center in a powerful way. I understand the way, and it's a triple way, isn't it? He didn't think so at first. The inner way of a soul attentiveness and turning the consciousness toward the non-manifested worlds, towards the worlds of the real, which he is loath to do at first in his skepticism. The silent way of ceased commotion, tranquilized commotion, so that receptivity is possible. The manifested way, and that's the way he's used to, only now it's manifestation, having received from the higher sources that which must really be manifested instead of just manifesting according to his own desire. For these three ways, for the wise one, really are one, and now he knows that. The three are combining into a one in all phases of this particular, of the later part of this stanza. The plan proceeds upon the outer way, it shows itself, it demonstrates itself, all can see it, and I'm going to help with that demonstration. And the whole will stand revealed through the manifestation of the plan, and in my vision, the whole now stands revealed, and I understand it with intelligence. That plan I know, I use my intelligence to know the plan, its qualities, its energies, its cycles, the timing of those cycles, the overlap of those cycles. And now I draw upon the will, since I can draw upon all aspects, and it's on my line, on the 1357 line, I will, but including love and mind, to serve that plan. Okay, let's just read it, you know, without the interruption of interpretation. The angel of the presence stands within the center of the whirling forces. For ages long thus has he stood, the center of all energies from above and from below. With intelligence the angel works to make the one who is above and the one who is below to blend and be as one. With 12 clear notes the hour sounds forth, and then the two are one. The angel stands entranced. Ear to ear, breast to breast, right hand to left, the two who are the three produce the merging of their lives. Glory shines forth, truth is revealed, the work is done. Then man, who is the soul, cries forth with power, I understand the way, the inner way, the silent way, the manifested way, for these three ways are one. The plan proceeds upon the outer way. It shews itself. The whole will stand revealed. That plan I know. I will, with love in mind, to serve that plan. Okay, friends, all those third-ray souls among you, although I realize this is mostly a second-ray group, but, you know, there was a there were a couple of third-ray souls in the among the disciples, and one of them was a teacher, in fact. But, of course, he had, I suspect, and hints are given toward that end, a second-ray monad. So those who work with Master DK and consider him their master and are taken in by him as their master will probably have either the second-ray soul or the second-ray monad. They have to resonate with him along some line, I would say. Right, that's it then, and we'll go on to the angel of the presence stands in his beauty rare. So let's take this as following. This is the end of Angel of the Presence Commentaries, number 4. We're on, page are we on? We're on page, 46. Angel of the Presence Commentaries, 4, Esoteric Psychology 2, EP 246, and beginning of Angel of the Presence Commentaries 5, Esoteric Psychology 2, page 46. All right, we'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.